I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you earned doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope, Discover does it automatically. Seriously though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Cartier, Rolex, Gucci, Prada, Jordan, Adidas, Bottega Veneta. At eBay, it's real or it's getting the fake out. eBay's team of luxury authenticators are making sure you never get faked over again. Watches inspected by watch aficionados. Sneakers checked by legit sneakerheads. Handbags examined by handbag connoisseurs. And jewelry in the scopes of expert gemologists. These authenticators are leaders in their field, with meticulous eyes making sure your piece arrives as authentic as your style and worthy of your collection. As experts, they know the true difference between a real and a fake. Real carries that rare, distinguished feel, the weight of pure platinum, exquisite scent of togo leather, and the tight stitching on a pair of dunks, the brilliance of real diamonds. So rest assured, your Rolex moves just like a Rolex should, and that colorway on your Jordan Royals will always be on point. The details inspected, the fakes rejected. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay's authenticity guarantee. Everyone deserves real. Visit ebay.com for terms. This episode is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Last year, Mountain Dew launched the Mountain Dew Real Change Opportunity Fund, a commitment from the brand to make tangible investments in Black entrepreneurs. In year two of the Real Change Initiative, Mountain Dew is partnering with the HBCU Esports League to put a spotlight on the HBCU student gamers and fuel their drive into their competitive field of esports by launching the Mountain Dew Real Change Challenge. With a focus on increasing Black representation in esports and gaming, the Mountain Dew Real Change Challenge will support HBCU student gamers by sponsoring a nationwide HBCU esports tournament. Contestants will compete for an overall prize pool of $500,000, coaching and exposure to esports professionals, and a gaming contract with Mountain Dew for up to 1 year. Gaming fans can tune in to twitch.tv/community, that's twitch.tv/CXMMUNITY, on February 25th to catch the final showdown between the top two HBCU teams competing in the ultimate game.
Start it off.
What's poppin', people? Welcome back to another episode of Say Less with Kaz.
Yo.
Lowski.
What's up?
And Rosie. And yeah. We have a very, very, very special guest in the building. Good friend of the show, Mr. Carter Boozier.
Hey, good to be here, guys.
Yes,
good
sir.
To be
here. Yes,
finally,
sir.
Finally got him after he pump faked for 8 times.
Couple pump fakes.
Before we even got on the microphone, Rosie was saying, who was the biggest pump faker, me or you?
I don't even know, bro. And it's a tie.
I don't know enough like social settings to say that he might be, but based on what he was talking about, I'm like, yeah, that's similar to what
he's like done.
Similar to what I've done, so I might have to give him the crown.
So here's the thing, they don't understand about us. We do really be wanting to go.
No, you don't want to go. Like, Kaz, you don't want to go anywhere.
I really do be wanting to come out.
I have a question. Uh-huh. When you wanting to come out, right? Okay. Do you ever shower
though?
And get dressed?
Why she put it in quotations?
Because he don't be wanting to come out.
A lot of the times, right, I'd already be showered for the day.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Do you ever get ready?
I legitimately be ready to go sometimes.
Do you get ready?
No. So, all right, hold on. In Kaz's defense.
Yes, defend me. Defend me first.
When it's time to really go out, like, the nigga's already in the city or he's already making
That's
moves.
That's the only time.
And he's already, right. He's already tripped out, right? So during the weekends, those are his time to, like, really just, like, calm down, chill with the family.
No, listen.
I'm not going to let you do my man like that.
Thank you, bro.
Let me get my shit off real quick.
All right, get your shit off.
When he wants to chill, he wants you to
harasses
come to
us.
Him.
Yes.
Ah.
And that's when the chill... ignites. I'm not mad at that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having like the you know the party house. I don't want to say party house, but the clubhouse. I want to accommodate. I'm like, everybody, and I like that.
Come gather, bro.
I feed you. That's cute.
But this is what bothers me about both of them. Hold on.
He's with the shits. Hold on. Here's what I know. He's with the shits. Yo, y'all out.
Yeah.
Anybody outside? Where everybody at? Yeah, hit the group chat. Where everybody at?
Let me find this nigga real
quick. This is what bothers me about Carlos and Kaz.
Okay.
They will pump fake to the very last minute. I do that too. Get to the spot and Carlos and Kaz will still be like, so yeah, I might still slide. Y'all there? Who there? Like, what's going on? Is it popping? You're home in your drawers, bro.
But I know him. Like, just like you know your homeboy, I know my nigga.
Bro.
Like, so when he start asking, like, yo, who there? What's how y'all leaving?
Yeah, he not coming
like,
though.
Then I'm like, I'm putting my phone down. I'm like, I'm not talking.
Yeah, because that's right. My first question is who's there? Yeah.
Who all gonna be there?
I'll be like Rosie.
That's everybody's first
who's
question.
There? Yeah. Who you with?
Who you with?
Then I'm like, I think about it.
Yeah. Where y'all sitting?
Like the last time I was in New York was like 2 weeks ago. I was already at dinner with my man catching up, and she was already out, and I wanted to keep the night going. But the meal was so good.
Bro, you didn't
I got
any.
The itis. And yo, I was what like, happens? So I was like, bro, yo, let me know when you get home. I'm going to show you straight.
Yo.
I'm already back at the hotel. I'm going to bed.
Mind you, and Carlos said, he like, perfect. I get
even,
to go home.
Even if you said, nah, yo, we about to da-da-da. That nigga was not coming.
He's doing the due diligence.
Yo, my G, get home safe.
Yeah.
I hate it here.
All you said is, nigga, I am not coming.
I hate it here.
Listen.
I hate it here.
We don't flake because we don't love. Like, oh, we want to
flake. I wanted to be there.
I know, but that's why, you know what?
That's why, Kaz, you take, like, I have a priority over you when you want to go out. Because it's very rare.
This is very
true. So that's why his birthday was just me and him at a bar.
That's fair.
He wanted to be outside, and I was like, bro, I will pull up because you don't ever want to do shit.
I told y'all what I was doing.
So y'all
know what it was. And I also said, like, yo, when we record, we're going to go out and get a little fucked
and
up, whatever.
And we did.
But aside from whatever, I'm like, all right, it's his birthday.
And it's sneaky.
As long as one of them got Rosie had him, I'm like, all right, Rosie
yeah,
going
to
Rosie
somebody, going to like when I was at the town one time and I told you to get him.
What I did, he was like, yo, go.
Go right now.
Bro, beeline
it
right to Jersey.
I called you and Rory. They was like,
beeline it. Where he at? We know, like, yo, it's like, we'll look at each other like, all right,
I was like, I can't make it, go get him.
I'm like, I got him, I got him.
Happy belated, by the way. Happy belated, man.
Thank you so much. And thank you for pulling up, man.
Yeah, for
I know.
Sure.
It's just we've all known each other for several years now, yeah, going on at least a decade, more
for
than
sure.
that at this point now.
For sure.
And
I don't know, y'all drunk a lot.
Rosie, the heaviest hand in the East, as I call her, has gotten many of us drunk over many years. But it's just good to have you in the city while we can. I know it's a busy time for you. Your kids is killing
the
prep circuit right now. You're killing on game day for college as well. Like it's been a great journey to kind of see you transition from your playing days to not just being a trusted voice and an analyst and for the sport and for the culture. So in the Dream Team doc also.
I'm still not a Duke fan.
Still hard for me to root for Duke. Still hard for me to root for Duke. Not gonna
hold
you.
I apologize.
It's okay.
It's all good. Love you though.
However, man.
I had to throw it in there.
I was about to say the Carolina jump. I don't know where it's a huge rivalry.
So let me ask y'all, right? Yeah. Since you went to Duke, you're from North Carolina.
From Raleigh.
How do you, I guess aside from where you're born, what makes you decide, hey, I'm a Carolina guy, I'm a Duke guy?
The thing is, when you grow up there, well, you went to Duke, so you didn't have to choose. But when you grow up, and you have to pick.
Yeah.
Because that's like the biggest
rivalry
in North Carolina. It's like
one of the biggest rivalry in sports.
USC or Duke, one of the biggest. So you just have to choose.
I dubbed WrestleMania to go to the Final Four
and
to watch Coach K's last joint. I'm like, I gotta go.
I ain't stupid. I said, where Jordan went.
Has there ever been anybody that you've known that has picked the opposite side, like from where you're from?
What do you mean?
Like, has been.
I have a lot of friends that are Duke fans.
Right. So does that create?
We call them Dukies.
Oh, okay. So that creates animosity. That creates
only during college.
So let's talk to the big Dookie, man.
big Dookie
right here.
I don't think we should say that.
I think it fits
the big blue devil. Like, let's I don't want to call him a dookie.
Big like, dookie.
I don't feel good calling a grown man a dookie. I don't feel good doing that.
But man, crazy year for Duke and just everything around. I feel like there's so many things I want to touch on, but let's start with your Duke Blue Devils and you know Coach K, you know retiring and you know the program itself.
Yeah,
the program's in a bit of a transition at the moment, but. Talk to me about it, man. Like, how does it feel just going and watching Duke games and not seeing that crazy man patrolling the sidelines anymore?
No, it is weird. You know, he'd been there for 42 years. Yeah. So to see him step down, all of us were, you know, obviously happy for him. He's had a hell of a career. A lot of accolades, five championships and whatever. You know, all the ACC championships too. But it was time. You know, he's 75 years old. Mm. He still got, you know, Mickey, his beautiful wife with him. He got his grandkids and his daughters. And so... You know, at some point we all got to hang it up and turn the page, and this was his moment for that. So, not the way he wanted to go out, of course, but at the same time, anytime you get to the Final Four is a successful season because it's hard to get to the Final Four. You guys know. You guys watch a lot of college basketball.
Of course.
Very difficult to get to the Final Four.
As an athlete, he should know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, real athletes do real things. You know what I'm saying?
Just there's only one athlete in this room, and it's not you.
But speaking of all that, like him stepping down and John Shire stepping up, those are huge shoes to fill. Right. Almost impossible shoes to fill. Yeah.
And that shadow is a long cast.
Yeah, it's a long cast of shadow, but he's doing the best he can. You got a young team. They're 20-8 on the season. It's not that bad.
Word.
They're figuring out how to maneuver through the season. You know, we all got to figure out how to navigate. And he's had a tough season where two of his best players were hurt most of the season. Now they're back. We're like winding into ACC tournament, into March Madness around the corner. So I think they're at they have the team full strength right now, which is big time for them. For them, they don't have a star. They don't have a Jason Tatum, Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. Last year's Paolo Banchero. They don't have a guy like that. They got to do it by committee. Mm. And so once they've bought into that, now everybody's an option. They go a little harder. The guy next to you becomes that much more important because there's not a guy you could just throw it to and say, hey, man, get us a bucket. They don't have that this year. So, but that being said, it ain't like the Tar Heels. Going back to the final this year. They struggling now. We can talk about the Tar Heels
too.
Let me ask y'all a question. So y'all got me on this juice.
Blame the heavy hand of these.
You know what I mean? You got me on the strawberry juice.
It's good though.
It's very good, by the way. You did a great job. So how do you guys feel about being in 20 minutes away from winning the championship a year ago?
Damn.
To now, y'all might not be in the tournament this year. How you feel about that?
And you brought back your whole squad. The whole squad.
Everybody, but man, who was great for y'all?
I'm going to say this. Players fuck up too. We got next year. You feel me? We're going to be all right.
It ain't over yet, though. It ain't even over.
Fuck up too.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of March Madness.
Got a whole fucking like collegiate team. Like, your players fuck up too. That's it.
Because when it comes to Duke and Carolina, it's like they go back and forth on who's like, one of them is always going to dominate.
Always.
So one of them is always going to make the Final Four, whether it's Duke or Carolina. So it's like Duke got it this year.
And it wasn't necessarily like last year. North Carolina was like world beaters either. You know,
but
what
they
I mean?
Got
like,
so hot.
They got hot at the right
so
time.
So hot.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So who knows?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question since we're talking about last year.
Let's talk about it. It's like I got my juice in me, too.
So the semifinal game against Coach K, y'all beating Duke, do you feel like that was y'all championship because y'all lost the championship?
1,000%. I think that was the championship. Like, listen, the rarity that we all know was Coach K's last season.
Right.
So any game could have been his last game.
Right.
The fact that you matched up with your longtime rival.
Crazy.
Your arch nemesis.
It's impossible to not, like, the emotion of that game, like, it's impossible
to understate
that.
You can't write any story better than that.
I was watching it like it was a Marvel movie.
It was.
So here's the thing, like, I didn't go to no huge, like, you know, sports, like, college or anything like that, but, like, I've always wanted to see Duke, North Carolina, either at Cameron Indoor or at the Dean Dome. So seeing for the first time at the Final Four in New Orleans, where
great
it's just literally,
it was a great game. Any different.
Almost 100,000 people in the stadium watching a college basketball game, bro. Yeah. And it's a rivalry game.
The best rivalry.
And it's
in
the
college.
Last game of this motherfucker's career. Like you couldn't script it better. And of course, and then after do all that, it's like, oh, and you gotta come play Monday for the title.
Right.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
You were there.
I was there.
Yeah.
How explain your emotion or explain the experience and the momentum and the high level, the intensity. Explain that.
I would
whole
say
thing.
It was a moment of two extremes, right? Mm-hmm. So I went from being extremely high, pumped up, excited, enthusiastic for Coach getting to the Final Four to great game.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter who won, the great game.
Yeah.
Down to the wire, came down to a couple of free throws.
Just as a sports fan.
Great basketball game, right?
Right.
And then I go to the other part of the spectrum, and I was extremely sad for Coach. Like, I didn't want him to go out that way, you know? He's been, to us that went to Duke, he's been like a father figure. Mm-hmm. I have a father, obviously, phenomenal dad, and Coach K was like underneath that for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you leave high school and you pick a school, you're basically, your parents are basically putting you in the hands of
another
your coach.
Family.
Another family,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so Coach K was that for me. Mm-hmm. And he's had a successful career. All of us wanted that storybook ending where he goes out on top, wins a championship, rides off into the sunset.
Yep.
Didn't go down that way. So I went from being like super hype for him to being like, damn, I wanted to give him a hug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I knew it was his last time on the sideline.
Yeah.
So, and he's one of my closest friends. We talk every month, every couple weeks. Like, we talk often. So, but in totality, what a great career, man.
Oh,
how do you think he felt about that ending?
And that's why I want to ask him, like, not to pry too much.
Yeah,
did you have a conversation with him after that game? And not to, you know, not to get too, but like,
Coach, at this point in this, like, this year, right now, you know, doesn't miss it. It's a lot that goes into being a head coach. You got
it's,
a recruit.
It's not just the game.
You put
it's
a lot of hours, sweat, blood, tears. Like, it's a lot that goes into being, especially being a successful coach, right?
Yeah.
You mentally know, the Roy, told, the Dean Smiths, mentally, the Roy Williams, for us, the Coach K, like, both of those two schools have been so great because they're at the top of the totem pole.
Yeah.
Was a competitor who put time, effort in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's Coach K as well. So, but at the time, you think he wanted to end it like that?
No, of course not.
The competitor to him was like, man, run it back.
Yeah.
Like, oh, bro, like, yo, hey, give me
the block, run it back.
So the funny, so the funny thing about Coach K, right, is that, like, obviously we all have a vision of him, you know what I'm saying, just being this, you know, military background, like,
I want to see him laugh.
Straight lace type of stuff, right?
I want to make him giggle.
Any Dukie I talk to, anybody I talk to either went to Duke or, like, played there, just always has like a hilarious Coach K story where it's like, Coach K get down like that? And
hold on.
Like, yeah,
is
bro.
He the, is he the Tom Brady of coaching?
I wouldn't. That's,
nah,
that's,
but what do you
Is he the Tampa?
I think the way she's trying to explain it is that, like, you know, for a while Duke was so hated, just kind of like Tom Brady was so hated,
like the Yankees,
exactly, yes, right?
Yes.
And you have this vision,
big Yankees fan. In case y'all missed,
yeah, you already seen it.
Big Yankees fan.
Pitches and catches back this week. You know, obviously you have this vision of what Coach K is like,
right?
You know what I mean, in basketball. And I'll even just tell you a story that somebody shared with me that I don't even know if it was true or not, but if you are a Dookie, so I will cross reference it with you.
Can you stop calling him Dookie?
He's a Dookie.
No, but it's just like, I just
you don't care a lot.
He's a Dookie.
I'm sorry, I just don't like it.
Corroborate the story with me. One of my friends told me one time, I think this was a preseason game, I don't even think it was televised. Mm-hmm. I guess Coach K had called a timeout. I think it was like a scrimmage or was it like one of those preseason games you're playing against, like a D2 team,
right,
or whatever. And I guess like the team didn't come out with enough energy. And according to the story, the team, he tells the team, gather around. And they get into a circle and he says, you guys are playing with no nuts. And then allegedly, he grabs his nuts and looks at him like, you see these right here? You see these motherfuckers? Play with some of these. And I'm like, Coach K talking like that?
Well,
like,
wait, hold on.
Sounds
legit.
Does it sound
that
right?
Sounds like a Coach K story.
Oh, yeah.
I can look at him and see, like, yeah, like, if just, the intensity's not there.
The visual of Coach K
there,
in the middle of a bunch
of
people
doing that.
See, but this is the thing y'all got to remember. Like, he's not a choir boy. He's from Chicago.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's tough. He came from a very mild, modest background.
Mm-hmm.
Had to grind for everything he got. So.
Yeah.
He comes from the same place that we come from, from the dirt, right?
So that's why he relates to
that's
somebody.
Why he has that mentality.
Got you got it out the mud.
You got out the mud. You got to earn everything you want.
Yeah,
right. So he's been around long enough to know when you're giving it to him.
Yeah.
Or when you're giving it to your teammate. Like,
are you
giving me all you got? Because right. I know the person next to you needs that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he also earns a respect because of who he coached before, like the Grant Hills and mm-hmm. the Shane Battiers and Christian Jay Williams Leitner. And Christian yeah. Leitners yeah.
And even Team USA.
And the team, list goes yeah. on. Yeah. So yeah. when you sign up to go to Duke, you sign up to play against a Carolina. Mm-hmm. I couldn't wait to be a part of that rivalry. Like, I respect so much about Dean Smith, who recruited me, and the Tar Heels, but I wanted to be a Blue Devil,
mm-hmm.
right? I wanted to play for Coach K, and I wanted that connection, and it worked out, boo. Sorry. So, like, that's why you sign up there, because you want to play against the best players in college basketball yeah. to see how you match up against them to get ready for the next step, right? Mm-hmm. And Coach is a competitor, bro.
Yeah.
He wants to win. He's not out there for shits and giggles. He want to win.
Yeah.
So that's why I know the last game, he wanted to run it back.
Who wouldn't want to run it back?
Let me keep it a stack with you, Booze. Like, your recruiting class, to me, was like the tether for where Duke culture went, right? Like, yeah. before y'all class, Jay Williams, Mike Dunleavy, you know what I'm saying, Chris Duhon, all those yeah. guys. Before that class, Duke was preppy, yeah. white boy, friggin' yeah. soft, like yeah. you think of Leitner, all these type of stuff. There was something about y'all class and afterwards that landed the Kyrie Irvins, the Jason Tatum, yeah. the Zion Williamsons, like the not just great players, but players that are absolutely like game changers in the NBA.
Great.
Where, you know, before then, it was, you know, Duke had a type, it yeah. felt like. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We all saw the Fab Five documentary. Yeah. We see what Jalen Rose and all those people said about Facts. Duke back in the day. What do you think that team, that, you know, that core of the freshmen that y'all came in, sort of changed the landscape of how people looked at Duke basketball?
Well, I agree with you, right? Mm. So, you know, I felt like I didn't go there because of their past.
Mm-hmm.
I went there because of Coach.
Like you didn't go there to change the stereotype. You went there.
Let me get to that.
Okay.
I'm about to talk about that. So when I was being recruited, I was number one player in high school,
mm-hmm.
and I lived in Alaska. I grew up in Alaska, so I had all these coaches, Jim Boeheim and Roy Williams, and all these coaches come up to Alaska in my living room,
mm-hmm.
and they're telling me, you know, you're the best player in the country. We want you. Not those coaches, but other coaches are telling me. Which I won't name because I don't want to get no NCAA. You know how y'all are.
I was about to say.
You know how you are.
I was about to say. Did they change the rules? I think we okay now.
Not
the statute of limitations.
He said, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Why my dumb ass looked over like, who are you talking about?
Who's y'all?
Not those coaches, but some other coaches that came to my house.
Yeah.
Were like, you can just play basketball for us. We'll give you money. We'll give you a car. Mm. We'll give you an apartment. Mm. We don't mind you being a dumb jock. Just come play ball for us.
Wow.
That's how I took the message.
Oh, wow.
Like, we don't even want you to be educated.
Blue chips.
And I was like, my mom and dad raised me better than that. Coach K came in my living room and said, look, son, you're number one player in high school basketball. We love your game. We think you can help us win games and all that. But you got to earn if you want to start, you got to win it in practice.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing with seven other All-Americans. Mm. If you don't go to class, you won't be able to play. Like, we...
Oh, he was balanced.
It was
a balance.
He
it was
gave,
like,
you gave it to
everything
you.
That,
everything that you want,
you gotta
earn it at Duke.
Gotcha.
And to me, that was like, let's go.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I sat challenge up in my accepted. Chair.
Like, it challenged me because I, like, to that
your
point.
Your competitive nature kicked
in
already.
Because like. I didn't grow up in New York or Chicago or California. I grew up in Alaska.
Right.
So everything basketball-wise came very easy to me.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Like, the competition wasn't there. So, like, my travel ball, my AAU ball was when I really got the real competition. So when I went back to high school, it was like, this is light work. So when I heard a challenge, I was like, bring it on. Let's go. So that was the reason why I went there. Now, when we got there, it's me, it's Jay Will, it's Mike Dunleavy, and it's Casey Sanders. Mm-hmm. We're all player of the year in our state.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Will's from Jersey. He was Gatorade player of the year in Jersey.
Got you our first
St.
one.
Joe's Metuchen.
St. Joe's,
bro,
yeah.
I played against Jay Will.
Did you?
He did.
So I went
cold
to
in high school.
I went to Southwest in high school.
Cold.
He played in Metuchen.
Yeah.
Nigga lit me up for 48.
Cold. And he played power forward in high school.
Bro, that nigga was lit me up. A terror. Yeah, I was so afraid of that nigga.
Yeah. So, he played power forward in high school.
Bro. It was him and four other guards.
Yeah.
Bro.
I played a power forward. Just put me out there, coach.
Jay Will was a
Yeah, problem.
But yeah,
so when you get there.
So Jay Will, player of the year in Jersey. Dunleavy, player of the year in Oregon. I'm the player of the year in Alaska. Casey, the player of the year in Florida. We get there, And we see the landscape. You know what I mean? Shane Battier is coming back for his junior year, which we thought he was going pro.
Yeah.
Chris Carroll comes back for his senior year. And then it's a bunch of guys we don't know who they are. So we're like, yo, we got to change the culture. You know, we got to do us. Like,
yeah.
We know what it is here. This is definitely something that's been laid out for many years before we got here. Mm-hmm. But we got to have our own swag. Mm-hmm. We got to rock the shorts how we want to rock them. Mm-hmm. Wear the low-cut ankle socks that we wanted to wear because that was our style.
I feel like y'all were the first team to have the black Duke jerseys.
We had the black jerseys, right? We're like, coach, we got to get black jerseys. He's like, all right, whatever y'all want. Here, black jerseys.
When I came out with the black shorts, I was like, oh, okay, these are cool.
And
like,
the next thing you know, we're recruiting Chris Duhon, who's coming from New Orleans, who's a player of the year in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. We get him, then Kyrie, then J.J. Reddick coming from Virginia. Mm-hmm. And then there's all these people. Then we get Tatum, then we get Paolo, then we get... And now you look at it, and it's a whole different markup. You know, like it's, I think part of it is like what the Fab Five did to Michigan. They came in and changed the whole dynamic.
Right.
Our group came in and changed the dynamic at Duke, and we made Duke look cool to the next generation. And that was one of our things that we were proud of, because without us being there, you don't get Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. Without him seeing another Jersey guy, Jay Will, go there.
There you
right?
go.
A lot of these younger guys looked up to Jay Will because he came from Jersey.
Oh, he was the god in Jersey. 100%. Like, we knew about Jay Williams 100%. Years before he got in.
Yes. Like, guys like him, and that changed. And then Kyrie comes.
Yeah.
So when Kyrie comes, then you got JT from St. Louis. It's like, And then Zion. Oh.
Zion put on a whole different.
Right.
Imagine if there was NIL with Zion.
Oh, my God.
He would have made $100 million at college.
He'd still be there.
He made $100 million. He made $100 million in college.
He'd still be there.
Oh, my God. One of the most incredible, like, college shows in sports.
Ever.
Like, it's a short list. It's like Zion at Duke, Tebow in Florida.
Yes.
Like, Vic in Virginia Tech. Yes. Like, you just had to be there to be like, yo. It was a show.
Yeah.
It was a show when this dude was here. So talking about that experience with Duke and just everything, now you got your kids. You got the boys who are, you know, both top five in any sort of recruiting system, NBA draft. Like, they are looking, the NBA is within their sights.
Yeah.
And you have a unique, point of view to provide for them, you know what I mean? Not only just being a basketball player, but, you know, in the era of, you're not necessarily, like, that far removed from the generation of players that they look up to. Like, they go and watch a Dream Team documentary where you're playing with Kobe and Bron and all these people, and these are the guys that they still look up to now.
Yeah.
When I'll start from the beginning, and then we'll break it all down with the kids. When did you know that they wanted to take the game extremely seriously? What point was it that for you?
Yeah, Cammy and Kaden, I'll tell you what, their older brother, Carmani, was always the best player in basketball, always. And he would bully them. He would, you know, put them in the post, fadeaway jump shots, hook shots, great footwork. He always had the softest touch. And then when he was 12, he chose baseball.
Wow.
He loves baseball. He's 16 right now.
He's
a junior.
Dominican?
I mean, we might be. I don't know. Let me get my ancestry in. But he's an awesome, awesome baseball player. And it comes to him so naturally, so he chose baseball.
Right.
And then Cameron and Kaden kind of took the basketball realm, like, let's go. And it's cool because they have each other to kind of
bounce off each other.
Yeah, but also compete with each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? Like,
how far, like, in age are they?
They're twins.
Okay.
I pulled Cameron out first. I pulled Kaden out second.
Okay.
And shout out to Cece because she's an amazing mom, does a great job with them.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to her. So they compete in the household, like you know, the whole brother sibling rivalry thing.
Yeah.
They got that to a T, but they got incredible chemistry because Kaden plays point guard.
Mm-hmm.
So he's setting everybody up, and Cameron plays power forward. Okay. So their chemistry is insane. They throw lobs, they go back door, they got something that nobody else got on the court.
There's a sync that they have.
Yes,
that
you can't speak of. Yeah. It's just there.
Yeah.
I would say I knew they were going to go for it when they were like 12, 13.
Mm.
And they're 15 now. And we went to a tournament. They play EYBL, which is like the travel circuit in the summertime.
Yeah, big Nike circuit where all the best players in the country. Yeah, okay.
And they lost in the championship.
Was that the Peace Jam?
No, this is MADE.
Okay.
So MADE is all middle school.
Okay.
They lost in the championship of MADE. And they were crying.
Mm.
They were all pissed. They were angry. They were crying. And I'm like, oh, this stung them deep that they lost it.
What'd you tell them?
I told them, I said, this is going to be a stepping stone in your journey. Like some of your failures will boost your successes so much
more. I know that hurt your heart though.
It did because I hate seeing my kids sad. But I know the bigger picture because I walked that path
already.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
And so the next year they came back and they won Peach Jam as freshmen.
Mm.
Right? And they won state championship in high school as freshmen. Mm. And they won the Peach Jam as freshmen.
Okay.
Which never happens. Okay. So that's when I was like, yeah, they're going for it. And now they got NBA scouts at every game. They've been recruited by everybody in the country. And
is it a trip, though? Because you was the top player in Alaska, Gatorade Player of the Year, all this type of stuff. Now your kids have the potential, especially Cameron, to be even more accomplished than you were as basketball players, which is pretty insane to say. You're a gold medalist. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're an all-star. You've done a lot of things in your career. Yeah. I mean, as they grow up, as they grow older, like – how much more of a fatherly touch do you put on to them?
A ton.
As far as like the growth in their game.
Yeah, great question. Because I walked it, right?
Yeah.
So like the viewpoint that I have is like nobody else around them.
Mm.
Right? Their coach has never been to where I've been to. Their teammates, like I'm the only guy that's been to the NBA. The only guy that's won back-to-back state championships.
You've touched everything that they want to touch.
What they want, I've walked it already, right? Yeah. So, like when I see even Cameron, even though he's number one player in the country, I see ways that he can improve.
Mm.
Where everybody else is just like, oh, you're so good. And he is, but he can get better.
Of course.
Which is the scary part, right? And so, like with Caden and Cameron, both of them are on different journeys. Like Cameron's 6'9", 6'10", and does everything that guards can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He plays defense. He rebounds.
He kind of reminds me of Tatum.
He's a leader. He can shoot. He can handle. He can play inside. He can defend 1-5. He's very versatile on both sides of the ball, and he's coachable, right? Caden is learning the point guard position. He sets everybody up, and he can score. He's probably the best perimeter defender we got, like, in the country for a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And he's becoming so much better at shooting the three, and he's coachable, right? So a lot of the stars that you have nowadays, they can't take criticism.
Mm-hmm.
My kids can because they're being coached at home.
And yeah, see, I was going to say because you raised them right. A lot of players are not coachable.
How important is it that your kids are coachable? Because there are a lot of kids that come up as young as they are and feel as though, like, well, I'm that guy, and, you know, everyone's, you know, looking at me this and a third. So how important is it to you that they are taking criticism, they are coachable, they are, you know, open to receive, you know, critiques? How important is that to you?
That's a big deal because, you know, so many, and this is a huge difference, and I have these conversations with NBA scouts all the time. A lot of the millennials have a hard time taking criticism.
Right.
They think they're the best player since MJ. Which even MJ was coachable.
Oh, yeah.
Kobe was coachable. Mm-hmm. LeBron is coachable. These guys are coachable. That's why they got better.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you take a talented kid who wants to get better. Mm-hmm. Then the sky's, there's no limit to them. And so we've had these conversations at home. Me and their mom, Cece, have had these talks with the boys. And they've embraced that because they want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cameron wants to be the best player there ever was. And that's his mission.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which
you
is
got him
crazy.
Or Bronny.
I'm taking my son.
I was about to ask.
He already beat Bronny.
You got him or Bronny.
He already beat Bronny.
So, at the hoop hall.
So let's talk about that, man.
He's a senior, and we sophomores.
He's a senior. Let's go.
Shout out, Sierra Canyon, I guess, Bronny James. You know, I think they just had like a mock draft list come out the other day.
He's very good, by the way.
And they have Bronny James as a projected top 10.
Bronny's very good.
Not doubting it. I'm just saying, your kid or Bronny.
I'm taking my son.
As you should.
I gotta ask you, man. I mean, obviously, you and LeBron were teammates for however brief, you know what I'm saying? You guys worked together on the Dream Team documentary, the Redeem Team, and obviously you both have highly ranked, prized, not even rookies, but prized recruits around the country, and Bronny James and both of your kids. What are conversations with Bron like? Have you had any conversations about just journey about like raising the audience?
I want to know if it's like who John Morant dad be beefing with?
Everybody.
The other dad.
No.
It was like last year he was beefing with another dad about when they was in the playoffs.
I forgot.
I saw that. I don't remember who it was.
He was beefing with somebody else's dad. I think it might have been Zion's dad. It was somebody's dad and John Morant's dad.
I can't remember.
Is that the referee?
He's over here breaking records. I haven't got a chance to talk to him about the kids yet. You know what I mean?
He's a little tied up right now.
I just be feeling like, are y'all that on the sideline?
But it is cool when you think about, like, for example, LeBron's son, is dominating his senior year.
Yes, yes.
Looking like a top 10 pick in two drafts from now, mm-hmm. 24. DeJuan Wagner's son, DJ Wagner. Me and Wani got drafted together in Cleveland our rookie year. We played our rookie years together.
I remember, 02, yeah.
And his son is going to Kentucky, maybe the top senior in the country. So it's awesome to be able to see, like, players from my generation that I'm close to and their sons are excelling at the same.
The lineage is always so important.
Yeah.
It's always just like, this is
the bloodline.
The bloodline.
The legacy.
This is what we played for. This is what we, you know, sacrifice, or our sons or our daughters, or whatever the case is, can follow in our footsteps, can be, you know, do better.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to point on when you brought up Cammy having a chance to do more than me. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me pay it forward so you can do it better than me.
Yes.
And that's, like, they're both way better than I was at 15.
Mm.
I was not that skilled doing step back threes and handles. Like, I wasn't doing all that. So it's impressive to me, and I'm happy. I'm proud of that.
So let me ask you that, man, because I always see, you know, there's always the debates about, like, 90s basketball and all these people. But I always just believe, just from the sheer advent of technology, we're just more, you know, we could just soak in more basketball now. Yeah. So 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds are doing step backs, are doing advanced basketball moves that people back in the day didn't really learn until they're like 20, 25.
Yeah.
So just as far as, like, you know, being somebody who was a successful prep star and just seeing the prep landscape now, even with NIL, even with the ability that so many people know who your son is and he hasn't even stepped foot on a college campus, pro, nothing like that. As somebody who's seen it all, from that point of view, what is it like seeing your children kind of absorb basketball culture right now and be at the forefront of it?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, I didn't grow up with this. Like, there wasn't these platforms when I was a kid. There wasn't social media. There wasn't all these cameras at my games, and they have that. Mm-hmm. And me and Cece as parents are trying to help them navigate through with as limited amount of distractions as possible.
Do you care where they go to college?
No, I want them to do what's best for them. You know, my path was Duke, and that was great for me.
Yeah.
I want them to go where they're loved.
Mm. Like, I know where you're loved. That are like, I want you to do what I did. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they didn't even play basketball, would you care?
No, I want them to be their own men. Yeah. You know, I want my daughter to be her own woman. I want them to be able to, you know, walk the path of life that they want to walk for themselves, because we all got to choose our own path.
Mm.
You know, your dad may want something for you. Your mom may want something for you. But I wanted something. Like, my mom and dad wanted me to go to UCLA.
Mm.
And I was like,
how different would your life have been if you was a Bruin?
Well, my whole travel team went to UCLA.
Yeah.
Like, Ray Young, and UCLA.
Kind of,
Matt Barnes, UCLA. Yeah. Capono, UCLA. Baron Davis. All these guys were on my travel team, my AAU basketball team. Okay. They all went to UCLA. But when I went on my visit, I'm like, this is not me. It's like a big city.
You named like five like super LA dudes. Pros. Baron Davis. Matt Barnes. I'm like,
They're legends.
All Cali. They didn't want to leave.
But for them, that was for them.
It was for them.
But it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you pick a college, you got to pick it for you.
Yeah.
That's literally your second home.
Yeah.
Like, you got to live, breathe, eat, shit, cry. Like, you got to grow.
Damn.
Like, bro, like that's where you got to just sit for the next 4 to 5 years.
He was crying. But
my kids is like, it's like picking your girlfriend, man.
Yeah.
Let me hit you with it, though. Let me hit you with it. So you want to pick a girl that's crazy about you.
Yes.
You want to pick a college. That's crazy about you.
Okay.
You want to pick a girl that's gonna walk through the fire with you.
Right.
You want to pick a college that's gonna help you through the tough times.
Yes.
Because you know, your freshman year is like, oh my God, it's a big campus. I got one class over here and one class over there. Mm-hmm. And dang, she look good over there. And you got to be able to manage. You got to be able to manage your athletics, your books, and your social life.
Yeah.
Right. So you want to be able to pick a coach that's gonna walk through your ups and downs, because it ain't gonna be all roses. We all know that because we lived it already.
Of course.
They haven't been there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell my kids, like, make sure, like, it doesn't have to be Duke. It could be wherever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you pick a school that's going to ride with you through the tough times, that's crazy about you, that got your back, because that's the school
that loves you for who you are.
For you, right? Yeah, because ultimately, you enjoy your college experience that much more if you know you got the person next to you, the coach next to you, the organization next to you, that fucks with you.
Yeah.
And so I have a bunch of friends of mine that didn't do what I did, that went where everybody else went, to the UCLA or to the St. John's or to the UConn, and they didn't have a good college experience because they didn't pick it for them. Mm. They picked it because, oh, their dad wanted them to go there, or their best friend went there. I picked school for me. Mm. Duke was for me. And I'm happy with my choice. I want my kids to pick it for them. So when they look back 20 years later, they're happy with their choice.
Yeah. How does, I think the biggest variable in all of this is NIL, yeah, right?
It changes,
like,
the game.
It changed the game completely. Like, your kids have enough notoriety where they can make a good amount of money as high school players if they choose to, you know what I'm saying? And these big brands can come up to them. And as they get older, as they become closer to making their college decision or their pro decision, all these things are going to get ramped up. You know what I'm saying? You can prepare them for a lot of things. It's hard to prepare them for that. So what have you talked to them about? Talk to them about this whole thing.
The one blessing that we have is that I've been very successful.
Yeah.
And
so money hasn't changed.
No.
Them. Right.
And because it hasn't changed me. Like, mm-hmm. I got the same heart that I had when I was broke and didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. And even though, like, I tell them straight up, like,
we still eat slices, bro. We still go to Joe's Pizza. Don't play with
facts. Big fact. I still bang Joe's.
We still go get slices. Yeah.
All right? It's pizza.
Yeah, right. But it's bomb.
Especially
at 3 in the morning. Bomb.
Bro, like, being with her, yeah, especially at 3 in the morning.
Some people don't like to get out of the car and get a slice.
Nah, bro. Like,
What I tell them is, like, just be who you are. Like, you guys are beautiful kids. You've been raised by good parents. You know right from wrong. Everybody got to make their own choice, and everybody has the right to make their own choice. But be a good person. Like, that's the biggest thing to me. Is I don't care what you do. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're successful at basketball or if you don't even play basketball. Mm. You got to be a good fucking person.
Yeah.
And so we drill that in their head when they were young. So now it's you know, they're great kids.
And I want to ask you, you know, just outside of basketball, and you mentioned this earlier, that when you go to school, you know, you have your father.
Yeah.
You know, the most pivotal figure in your life. But then when you go to, you know, college and you went to Duke, Coach K kind of, you know, filled that void when he could.
Yeah.
And tell me the role of the mentality that you have now that Coach K kind of helped you shift in regards to, like, fatherhood, in regards to being a man, in regards to just, you know, handling shit.
Yeah, one of the biggest things or lessons I learned from Coach K is something that we call next play. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'll break it down. So in basketball or sports, you could say the game is on the line, you're down by one, and you miss both free throws, right? And you're like, damn, I just let my team down. Mm-hmm. But guess what? There's 45 seconds left in the game. So you can make another play.
Gotcha.
Right? So next play. So you miss these. It's easy. Human nature is going to tell us to get down and be sad and be disappointed, right, whatever, with ourselves. But there's more time on the clock, so maybe something can happen. Maybe you get a steal, and maybe Jay Will makes the shot, and you win the game, or whatever. So we have a thing I do called next play. That's what Coach K taught us. In life, it's very similar. Rosie's good friends with my ex-wife, Nika. Mm-hmm. We're best friends. We're very close. But divorce is still a motherfucker. I don't care if you're best friends or not.
Yeah.
Divorce is tough. I got divorced to one of my best friends, Nika. But there's the next play ahead. You know, we decided to still be close. Co-parent.
Man, that was never going to change.
Yeah, that wasn't going to, but you never know.
True.
And we decided to still stay close. Our divorce was very easily done. We co-parent our daughter Bloom very easy. There was a next play in life, right? So to answer your question, that's probably the biggest thing that he taught us that applies to our sport and basketball that you can also play in life.
Right.
That, you know, you may hit a roadblock. You may stumble, but you can get back up, and there's something else positive that can happen after that. And that would be one of the biggest things as a father figure in my life that Coach K taught us, that it's not always going to go your way.
Right.
Doesn't mean the story's over, because guess who's got the pen?
You.
You do.
And I'm sure you taught your
my kids the same thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, so to lighten the mood.
I didn't mean to go so deep on y'all.
No,
but,
I love
but that's
bro.
What it is.
I love it.
I want to do some
funny shit, because this is my guy. I want to do the funny shit, right?
Okay.
So you've been a professional athlete all your life.
True.
So, you know, you drink a lot of Pedialyte Gatorade. Which one is it?
Gatorade for me.
All right. What's your favorite flavor?
I would say I like the icy a lot now that they made it clear. It's pretty dope. I do. Also
I like the original
flavors. But I mean, you know. And then they also got the, I can't remember the purple one name.
That's all you need to know. It's the purple one.
My whole house.
That's,
need
to know. That's the purple one.
All so my sons blue, like the purple like, one, right, so my whole house is purple.
Do you think if we did a fake test right now, if me and you
what's
just
a fake test?
Like
a test.
We're gonna just taste try test? It, yeah, yeah, and figure out which color is which. Yeah.
Bring on the gator.
All right, let's do it.
100%.
A few weeks ago, Jake, if you may,
100%.
A few weeks ago,
lime, fruit punch. Let's go. Come on,
oh yeah.
But here's the thing.
It goes by colors.
Here's the thing. So a few weeks ago, this is perfect.
Hey, hold on. And shout out to.
Barber. Oh yeah, best barber in the world.
In the world.
Remember that?
He's bald, bro. Talk about his barber's
about
the best one in the world.
Yeah, got the beard.
Yeah, my barber.
Carlos told me one beard. Time he had the best barber. I said, "You're bald."
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It was my beard. How is he the best barber?
Because he shaves his shit off and he lines
his
my beard.
That.
The beard game is crazy.
How is he the best barber?
Because he did my beard. The beard is hard.
Yeah, thank you, bro.
Man, he's bald. Talking about my barber, the best one in the world.
I can do my own bald head. It's hard to do the beard. It's hard.
Beard is
hard.
All right, man. Let's just take
it. It's an art. It's an art.
Bro, during the pandemic.
Oh, we got what's the hat?
Let's put the hat. Yeah, so here's the thing. A few weeks ago, we had an episode of Say Less, right? Where we were just talking about
Gatorade.
How can not just flavors of Gatorade, but you should be able to taste colors. Like, I know what blue tastes like. Like Lo asked me, what does
and they could give
Arctic taste like? I'm like, it tastes like blue. What do you mean?
What does blue taste like?
It tastes like blue. Cool blue.
Blue to me would probably be great.
There you go. See, you don't know.
What?
So we have
to be blue.
So, right, does purple Gatorade taste like grape?
No, it tastes like purple.
It tastes like purple.
It tastes like purple. I don't like that you're putting it in the cup because it changes the flavor when you take it out.
Right, all
right, man. The bottle is the bottle for me. All right, hold on.
I'm not doing it because
are y'all giving us the same color at the same time, right? We're going to have to figure it out. All right, let's go.
Put it in my hand because I ain't going to
look. The wonderful Jake is going to be here. Guys, put your headphones on. I'll guide you all through this process. Jake is going to hand a color. Now, Jake, if you could come here and just whisper in my ear which colors.
Yeah, we got the same color.
Is it the same color?
We're going to figure it out together, dog. You ready? Let me know when you're ready to sit.
Not yet,
I can see
it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So y'all. Okay. So.
All right.
Okay.
We know what the color is.
I can smell it.
Don't
smell
the
color.
Shut up.
All right.
So this is the first color. Rosie and Bulls are doing the Gatorade color taste challenge. Let's go. Sip.
Can we taste it?
Now, guys, when you answer, you must answer a color, not a flavor.
I answer a color. Go ahead.
I haven't sipped yet. Hold on.
I know which one this is.
Okay.
Ugh.
All right.
What it tastes like.
All right, Rosie, you go first.
It's got to be orange.
This tastes like orange.
This got to be orange.
It tastes like a Tic Tac.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Orange.
All right, so y'all both one for one.
Of all the flavors... Ugh. Of all the flavors that taste like colors, orange is the easiest.
Yeah, but it's so distinct.
It's very distinct. Yeah. Orange, right. Orange is orange is
it.
Orange.
All right. Don't smell. All right, this
yeah,
come
you
on,
smell,
man.
You,
don't smell. Yeah,
you can smell the color,
no,
bro.
You can't. All
right, keep your hand out. Keep your hand out. It's there. Yeah, okay, yeah, there's one.
Hold it.
Okay.
Right. Don't smell it and don't touch it yet.
Okay. We're gonna go up in difficulty.
You can't smell.
It's just a swig.
No.
Let it swirl around in your mouth
all
and
right,
then
all right.
Color.
Let us know. Ready?
Don't say it.
This is my favorite one.
Oh, yeah. That's easy.
Okay. Light work.
All right, so, all right. At the same time.
You ready, Booth?
That's blue.
Cool blue, though.
Oh, that's cool blue?
That's cool blue.
Okay.
100%
okay.
Blue.
All right, okay. You don't have to take the whole thing.
No, she can't see you.
It's my favorite one.
You're reaching out. She can't see you. Just get closer. There you go. All
right. Why are my eyes closed? And I'm blind.
But that's also one of the best ones, though.
That's the best one?
Yeah, that's one of the best
ones. That motherfucker not just blue. He's cool.
Now we're going to get a little bit more difficult. Okay, here we go. All
right. Booze.
Now you're gonna describe the flavor, like describe it like it's a wine, like it's a good.
Hold on, so you gotta booze, you gotta swirl it.
You gotta let it swirl a little
ready?
Bit. You know what I mean?
All right, take your
might spill it though.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Ew, I smell it. I know what this is.
That's lime yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
That's that neon lime,
that's that lime yellow, right?
Asking a professional basketball player to guess Gatorade.
I mean, I'm bang Gatorade.
Seems pretty easy.
And I'm a fucking alcoholic, so I bang Gatorade.
You can mainline that shit, basically.
It's easy as fuck to find these fucking flavors.
All right, now last but certainly not least.
It's also Gatorade, which is like the Nike of sport drinks.
It's like, well, very easy to guess.
You know what? I've been into Pedialyte more than Gatorade lately.
It hydrates you better, they say.
Just saying.
Gatorade has more sugar than Pedialyte.
That's the thirst quencher of alcoholics, Pedialyte.
Oh, I know what this is.
Well, you got to. It's the last one.
It's the
flavor of flavor. That's fruit punch.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah,
fruit punch.
Red fruit punch.
That's the cherry blow pop.
Ask an NBA player, a former NBA player, the colors of Gatorade. It's like right, it's like asking Rick Ross to
I don't play in the league. All
right, so now we're gonna do Bumbu. I think me and Cash, you blindfolded.
Wait, we're doing Bumbu.
Yeah, I never drank that.
For what? What are we doing?
Oh wait,
right, we're gonna do a taste test.
This is Bumbu.
Yeah, that's the
I know we're doing a taste test. We're doing a taste test.
Yeah, I mean we gotta do like.
Hey, good job. I see you, Gatorade.
I mean, I mean, Boozer and Rosie did them. Now me and Cash gonna do ours.
All right, let's get to it.
All right, let's do it. I got y'all.
Let's get a little swig. Well, while we're getting the swig, let me just ask
by
you.
By the way, I destroyed this, by the way.
that means another one is coming.
I was actually hoping about a good new one. Rosie, where are you
that's
going?
That's really good, though. That's actually really good, though.
What's he got, Jake?
Bro, that shit is
really
good. That shit is
fine.
That's
what Jake's here for.
But we got to also understand, guys, that we drink Gatorade a lot.
Gatorade every day.
I drink Gatorade every day.
I drink Gatorade every day.
It'd be hard to fool us with Gatorade.
Yeah, you're not going to fool me with the orange.
You might with the cognacs.
So, okay, so growing up, I tried different like colors of Gatorade.
Okay,
but in my adulthood, it's only been Cool Blue.
Yeah, yeah, my kids love purple.
That's
my whole
bad.
House is full of purple.
I think it's a
all three of them like purple.
That's crazy.
I think it's a disservice to Gatorade when you have
I
Cool
like the,
Blue
the,
and
the new colors either.
Yeah.
The new colors are stupid.
Too cool.
Cool Blue is an original color.
Well, it's fire when it's just clear and it tastes like purple though. Have you tried that? It's crazy.
I don't want it.
It's unbelievable.
All right, no, let's try this.
All right, so what's the why are we doing a taste test?
This is all Bumbu.
This is all Bumbu. Okay.
Me and Cass.
Yeah.
Oh, there's different flavors of Bumbu.
There's three of them.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Blindfold yourself.
All right.
You blindfold yourself and you tell us what you taste.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What flavors
do
you taste?
I got you.
I got
all right.
It.
Lo, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You got
your
cups? All right.
All right. Are they picking colors, though?
No, it's the three bottles right here.
Oh, right.
So
it's
the original, the XO, or the cream. Which one is that?
Wait.
This is the white bottle. This is the white bottle.
Is that the white bottle?
This is the white bottle.
It gives a little hint of cream, a hint of... Wait.
This is the white bottle, right?
I like how you take it this time.
Guys, we got to let it swirl. You got
to let it save.
I could taste some berries in there, too. It's like, I'm going to go with cream. Is this the cream flavor?
Absolutely the fuck not.
No?
wait, what flavor is this? What bottle is
this? Oh, this is the original?
This is the original?
This is the Lowski bottle.
Oh.
Wait, this is the brown, like the clear brown bottle?
Yeah, you know there's three bottles.
Wait, really?
That look like us. There's a Cast, there's a Rosie.
Yes.
This is the low bottle.
Yeah. I've been drinking the black bottle for like the last. Okay, yo. That was my fault.
That's right, crazy.
Okay, next one. All right. Thank you, guys.
Somebody take this. All right.
Okay.
This is horrible as we're sponsored by Bumble. We don't know what
the. Well, now we know. Now we know.
All right.
Next bottle. Which bottle is this?
Which one did you put in my drink, though?
I put the first one.
Okay,
in your drink.
All right.
Ready? Which bottle
ready?
Is this?
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Is this Cas low or Rosie?
This is XO. I can
Well, the low is gone.
Mm-hmm. It's XO. This is the one I drink.
This is
the black bottle.
This is Cas's bottle.
This is the black bottle. That's racist as hell.
This is my favorite.
And I'm blindfolded and I'm already pointing at you. This is racist as shit.
The racism seeped through the blindfold just now.
White bottle.
The dark
what
skin
the
bottle.
Fuck?
The dark skin bottle.
The dark skin bottle. All right.
What flavors do you guys taste?
Okay.
What flavor?
What do you taste?
I taste like a dark cherry. Not a dark cherry.
Dark bottle.
Much more of a Wait. Hold on.
I taste black.
Dark cherry.
No, I taste.
It's giving me notes of.
Right.
I taste Black History Month.
Wow.
What?
Right.
That's what I taste.
That's detailed. That's very detailed.
I taste rich. I taste legacy.
It's got a smokiness to it. A nice smokiness. Yeah. Yeah.
I taste sarcasm.
Ooh.
He said I taste sarcasm.
I taste,
what does that taste like?
I taste athleticism. I taste rap.
Oof.
I'm joking.
All right.
This is good. No, this is good. All right, here you go. No, I'm good. Okay.
The XO always hit me. Give me hey, with but the
this
Martins,
Wheezy's, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Wheezy's right. So
that's
it,
fire.
It tastes like six
greatness.
Carters.
It tastes like greatness.
So it's like six Sovereign. Carters, yo.
Six Carters, I like that.
Shout out they Sovereign six. Brands.
All right, last one up.
I guess, out of three.
Damn, we got to drink the last one off of.
Oh, that's the rosy bottle.
Oh, yeah. Now that's creamy.
Yeah. Hey, yo. How y'all fuck that up?
The creamy is the white bottle?
That's like the Bailey's, like the sugary. Okay. Yeah, that's the white one.
Like, this tastes like if you put some motherfucking...
This tastes like the sheet.
Strawberry.
Yeah. Like,
Coquita?
Coquita. Oh, Coquita.
That's what I was looking for. Yes.
Coquita.
Coquita.
Take your hat off, bro.
Shout out to Madison for setting this up.
Hey, shout out, Madison.
Appreciate that. Oh, my goodness.
Yo, nah, Bulls, we killed the Gatorade challenge, bro.
Yeah, facts.
Before you get out of here, and because you're in this space now and because a lot of athletes are doing this, the J.J. Reddicks, the Draymonds, Tristan Thompson, like getting into that talking head analysis space. Mm. And because a lot of athletes are very sensitive about how you speak on them and their game and their just demeanor and everything, how do you approach talking about peers?
Yeah.
People that you're cool with, have played with. Mm. How do you approach that analysis from that standpoint? Because it's not easy. You don't want to offend anybody, but you also have to do your job.
Yeah, it's interesting because I never thought I was going to be on this side of the table.
Right.
You know, ESPN had called me when I retired and wanted me to do a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sure, I'll come do a playoff game. And it was cool. You know, you're in the arena, you're watching the game, we're just talking about what you see. And I guess they liked me and they gave me a contract. So I was like, cool. But to answer your question, I think part of it is the guys respect you because you played it at a high level. And because of that, when I come to them, I'm like, if I'm critiquing somebody, they know it's just me being real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would never try to ruin somebody's reputation or ruin somebody's career. But in the same time, if I'm asking you like, yo, because I've been there. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going through a slump right now. You know, what are you doing to get out of it? I had slumps, plenty of slumps, and I had to get out of it too. They know that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think most of the guys I interview get offended because they respect my resume. Either they've played against me, played with me, or they watched me play.
Mm.
And so because I'm in that, I'm like, to your point, I'm not that far removed from the current players. Mm. I don't get a lot of backlash. They're like, you know, that's OG, that's Big Booze. Like, yeah, you know, we respect him because of what he accomplished. He just got done playing with us 5 years ago. And I try to word my questions in a way like, man, I've been there before. Mm. You know, what's it feel like to miss that game-winning, possible game-winning shot. I've been there before. I missed one against Houston. I hit them with questions where I put myself in the same shoe as them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because I played so many games. Because
you've been there.
I've probably been in the same situation.
Gotcha.
Or I was with Cole when he took the shot. Mm-hmm. Or I was with D. Rose when he took the shot.
You saw it. You were right there. Yeah, yeah.
So I try to word my questions in a relatable fashion so they don't feel like I'm attacking them. And I think a lot of people in the media, they don't do that. I remember being interviewed by people and I felt like I'm getting attacked. Like, did you ever play the game? You know what I'm saying?
and that's the thing. It's like, you know, when I look at Shannon Sharp, you know, three-time, you know, Super Bowl winner.
One of the greats.
Hall of Fame, MVP. But then he's sitting across the desk from Skip Bayless, who's never touched a court of basketball, you know, football field, anything.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he has a knowledge. Stephen A. Smith has that knowledge. Yeah. Nick Wright has that knowledge, but it's just like their critiques come so hard. But then I look at someone like Kendrick Perkins, who's been on the court,
played it
in those situations, that does kind of lean in a little too hard. So that's why I always, you know, I always think, you know, guys like you who've done it, who've won it, who've experienced it, how do you approach it and how, you know, you have to do your job.
Yeah.
But it's like, and sometimes you got to ask those hard questions.
Yeah.
And that's why I was always curious about those things.
I think it's important to ask the hard questions, but in a way where the player or whoever you're interviewing feels like you're not attacking them. That's why I always try to put my game one against Houston, I was horrible. I had 11 points and I shot like 5 for 21. And I came back. I got in the lab the night before. I came back and I had 41 in game two.
Nice. Mm.
What are you going to do to bounce back for game two?
Mm-hmm.
I hit him with like that kind of story before I asked the question.
Gotcha.
So they're like, okay, Boo's been there.
Yeah.
Man, I had a fucked up game one.
Yeah.
But I can't wait for game two.
Right.
And that way, you know, Stephen A. Smith can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So it seems harsher You know what I mean? Or Nick Wright hasn't done, so it seems harsher.
Yeah.
But if you look at the best interviewers, like you watch Shaq or you watch some of the guys that like Jalen Rose or Barkley.
Kenny Smith, these guys,
they word it in a way where the player doesn't feel offended.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I think that's important because not only one, you want to get the question answered, but you want to be able to answer him down the line in 2 weeks when he's in the finals.
Yeah.
So they take your interview.
Yeah.
Right? Because some of these Giannis and Tatum and Steph, these guys are going to be around for a long time. Luka going to be doing it for so if you offend them early, you ain't never
getting. They're gonna, you know, who, just the guard's gonna be up.
You said Boo's ass for interview?
Nah,
you know what I mean?
The guard's gonna be up immediately. So it's incredible. Last question I'm gonna ask before you get out of here. You have one of the most legendary NBA stories I've ever heard. It is when
he like which one?
Which one?
It has to do with Prince.
Oh.
Wait, did I hear this? You haven't heard this
story? No, I don't know if I heard this one.
You've never heard this story?
I don't know if I heard this one.
I got you.
So, Booze?
I got you.
Take it away.
All right.
So,
send it off.
I'm very, very fortunate. I played really well my first 2 years in the league, and I got a nice contract from the Jazz.
Okay.
And the first thing I did after buying my parents a crib was I bought myself a crib.
Okay.
And that was out in L.A. It was in Beverly Hills in Bel Air, and it was owned by the... one of the Interscope record owners.
Okay.
18,000 square feet. It was in Bel Air. It was like 10.
Not Jimmy Iovine?
No, not Iovine.
Okay.
Different guy.
All right.
18,000 square feet, had like 10 bedrooms, a bunch of bathrooms, big guest house,
bunch
right?
Bunch of bathrooms, so, like a shit all day. Sorry.
I go in there, we buy the crib, decorate the whole crib.
Nice.
But I play for the Utah Jazz now because they, you know, obviously they gave me the contract. So summer's over and I go to Utah. My realtor, Roxanne Nelson, shout out to Roxanne, kept blowing me up and was like, yo, someone wants to rent your house. I said, Rox, I'm not renting my house out. I've barely been there. I've been there for like 2 months. Not renting my house out. So I kept saying no. Mm-hmm. Maybe like the fourth or fifth time she asked me.
Telling you the entire time she's asking.
She doesn't even know
who
it is yet.
Okay.
So the realtor is representing her client and reaching out to
her.
So she hits me like the fourth or fifth time and she's like, the client will spend $100,000 a month for a year.
Damn.
I said, oh, so 1.2.
Oh. Fast.
And I'm like, I'm 22 years old. So I don't even know that was the market for that. I didn't even know.
That was a thing.
This is all new to me.
Of course.
New money. Right. I don't even know what this looks like.
New experience, new money. New experience. Yeah. Gotcha.
So I'm like, well, yeah, I read that motherfucker out. I got to be in Utah for 8 months anyway.
Right.
So
the fuck?
So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So I fly out to do the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before like, you know, what's the thing on the phone? DocuSign.
DocuSign.
There was none of that. This is back in like 2004. So
Adobe.
It was like, you got to show up in person. You got
to
pull up.
You know what I mean?
We got to meet in person. So, yeah, there's a fax machine.
Right, that's what
for y'all young kids don't know what a fax machine is, hit Google, type in fax machine.
Right. Yeah.
So I fly out there. I'm at the crib. Yeah. Limo pulls up.
Yeah.
Prince walks out. And I'm like, yo, Rox, is that Prince?
What the
fuck? Is that Prince right there? Because I'm like, oh,
what is he wearing?
Because we didn't know.
What is he wearing?
He had a black jacket on, kind of like my man right here.
Shout out to Swerve in the building.
Swagged out. And he had
leather pants.
Tight pants. They weren't leather. They were like jeans, though.
Okay.
And he had like some high heels.
Of course.
Yes, but,
and
Prince.
I was like,
oh. You know. So you're looking, I'm like, how was his hair?
He had a hat on.
I'm still like, kind of shook.
Because I'm like, and he has sunglasses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, is that Prince right there? Yeah. That's Prince. So I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Because it was in a company name. It wasn't in his name.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm making the story longer, but it's Prince. So we walk around the crib. He's a huge basketball fan. On top of the house, I had a basketball court. So we were up there shooting. He's talking about Minnesota. He grew up in Minnesota. He's talking about Kevin Garnett. He's a huge KG fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, he busts my ass all the time. He's great. You know what I mean? And so,
Is he putting up like jumpers?
He can shoot, though. He's little, but he can.
He's nice.
He had a good jump shot. Right. So then, finish, like, you know, give him the keys, whatever. I leave.
Uh-huh.
I want to say, like, 4 months go by. I tear my hamstring. I fly back out to L.A. The best physical therapist, PT, name is Judy Cito, who now works for the Lakers. Kobe snagged her up right away. She's a phenomenal physical therapist. So I fly out to L.A. to see Judy. And I'm like, let me stop by the house and just, you know, check out things. So I pull up to the crib. I had a big gate, two gold lions on the gate. I pull up to the gate, and I'm like, there's this symbol. What the fuck is that? I didn't know he changed. I didn't know he changed. I didn't know what the fuck single was. So this is like 2004.
I knew he was gonna say that. Like he pulled up to the gate. And it's the Prince. He's like, what the fuck?
I didn't know what that. 2004. So I don't know what this is.
Okay.
So I'm thinking to myself, I'm at the wrong address. Because you gotta remember, like I bought it and I only been there for like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. So you're like, yo, did I put this shit?
So I drive back up the street. I come back down the street. And I'm like, all right, let me just try to put the code. I put the code in, the code worked. The door opened up. So I'm like, all right, this is weird. So I'm already like a little, not that. I just hit him a little like, what's
like
going
what
on?
The fuck, Prince?
So I pull up to the, it's like a long driveway. Yeah. And it's like this, like these big stairs. He dropped this purple carpet with the same logo over the stairs, outdoor, over the stairs.
Oh so now God. You're just like, yo, I'm what like, the fuck is going on?
Whoa. Then I walk in. Now, mind you, my ex-wife, Cece, had decorated the entire crib.
Yeah.
18,000 square feet. She brought in, like beige carpets from Italy and all this, you know.
He took the work. That shit out.
The works.
I walk in, there's black carpet, purple carpet. Yeah. And let me tell you what he did.
That sign.
Yeah. So he literally took everything out of an 18,000 square foot house, put it in storage. Down to the forks.
Jesus.
Okay. Redecorated the entire house. Uh-huh. Okay. On top of spending $100,000 a month on the crib.
It's Prince,
adding
baby.
That expense in the redecoration.
Then I had a weight room. We turned the weight room into like a disco ball, like nightclub, DJ booth. Which is actually kind of fire. I never had that before. It was kind of tough. Kind of tough. And then he had like some of the guest rooms. He turned into like a beauty salon with the hair thing. You know, y'all be doing the hair thing. Massage parlor in one room. And so I'm at this point, I'm livid. There's pictures of him all over the fucking place. I'm like, dude.
I mean, you
handsome, goddamn. You know? So I call him immediately. I'm like, yo, Prince.
Imagine being able to say, yo, Prince.
You know, I'm at the house. Like, it doesn't look the same. Can you call me back?
Yeah.
So that conversation, me to his answer machine, goes on for like a good, I don't know. 2 months, maybe a month and a half.
But you're just like repeatedly calling
his answer. I'm calling, but I'm not getting him.
So you're just leaving paragraphs like on his answer machine.
Nah, I'm short with my shit. So I'm like, hey, Prince, it's Booze. Call me back. Okay. Yeah. I'm like that.
Okay.
Right. Anybody
but
there?
But I'm sure he was going to fix it.
But it was two months of that.
It's Prince. I'm sure he was going to fix it.
So then out of nowhere, I'm like this close to suing him at this point. I'm like, yo, you're Prince, but dude, this is my house.
Yeah.
Right.
So he calls me. In Japan, and he's on tour for his album 3121. That's the album.
Yep.
And he calls me and he's like, "Booze, listen, it'll be like I was never there when I move out."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Yeah, but you are there." And we never talked about it.
You're not here.
I knew he was gonna do that.
And
I knew he was gonna do that.
So then he wires me $500,000 to ease my like, "Booze, don't worry about it." Wires me $500,000, and then literally when he moved out, whatever the date was, August, May, whatever it was. It's like he was never there.
I knew he was going to do that.
So let me tell you how much money Prince had.
Ghost.
Prince spent $1.2 million renting my house.
Right.
He probably could have bought his own house. Mm. Renting my crib.
Redecorating.
Took out everything in my house. 18,000 square foot of decorations.
Which was already decorated. Was already
paid
planted.
For storage to store all that stuff.
Yeah.
Redecorates the entire crib.
Right.
Wires me $500,000.
Right.
And then puts it all back like he was never there.
Jeez. It's like a ghost.
And I was like, I came back to the crib when the lease was up, and I was like, yo.
It was like it was never here.
It was almost like a dream. It was like, no way.
Like it never happened.
Like it never happened.
But he told me I wanted the house to look like mine when my friends came over.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I was like, that's dope. We should have put that in the contract, but that's dope. That's dope. I get it.
Like, you should have put that in fine writing. Like,
you
know, bro.
May he rest in peace, man. A lot of love for him.
That's crazy.
I mean, P is one of the dopest. I saw him in New York. Actually, here at the All-Star Weekend.
Jordan's party.
Oh,
when
he performed.
Oh,
I saw him in the back.
Yeah. That's it was Ariana Grande in the beginning.
Yes.
And then Prince at the... Yo.
Jay-Z and Beyonce were there watching Prince perform.
Did y'all...
I saw him at a restaurant in L.A. maybe like 4 or 5 months after that. And he was great. He was like, Booze, man. The house, right? I'm like, yo, the house.
Oh,
I tell you another story, but off camera.
That's the name of this episode.
I can't wait. That's one of the people. All right, real quick, before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Who's somebody y'all wish y'all would have met before they passed?
Mike. I wish I got to see
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, like no. Actually, no. Whitney.
Whitney.
Whitney Houston.
Gosh.
I say
that's
Prince.
That's my mom's favorite artist.
Because Whitney to me, Houston. Mike he looked like he lacked a lot of social skills. So I'm I don't think it would have been fun.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that's
Prince,
fine.
I'm not trying like
to kick.
Cool.
I'm not trying to kick it with Mike. I just want to be like, yo, I'm at Mike. Oh,
sorry,
Mike.
I respect that.
No, I'm talking about kick it. Like,
yeah, I want to kick it. Yeah,
I didn't want to kick it with Mike. I just want to be just be like,
who's somebody you wish you would have kicked it with?
Kicked it with? That's not alive no more. Shit. Bob Marley? No, not Bob Marley. I'm not.
No, you know, Chris Farley.
Chris Farley.
Oh, Chris Farley.
I wish I could have kicked it with
that
him.
That would have been too much for me.
I wish I could have kicked it with
I feel
Chris
like
Farley.
I would have been coked up. And be like,
no, it's not even that.
Probably Pryor. Probably Richard Pryor. Ooh. He'll live a wild life.
Still
yeah.
coked up.
Yeah, still coked up. Still coked up.
Yes. That would have been fun.
Who for you? Who for you?
I don't know because.
Who for you, though?
Yeah, who for you?
Or is it Prince?
I like, man, Prince or Bob.
Yeah. Bob Marley.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have gotten a lot of insightful shit out of Bob.
For me, it would have been Pac or Big. Because
yeah.
I feel like my whole childhood was Pac and Big.
I got in a lot of trouble.
Well,
I
yeah, like, about to say, you can't speak on Pac.
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble about a recent comment I made about Pac.
Yo, I feel
I
like.
I couldn't chill with Pac.
I feel like Pac would have been cool to chill with because I always say this. I feel like he was like about to be like. A heartthrob, like a movie star, like more than a rap star.
You just said this the other night.
I did, but like I always felt like he was on his way to being like, you know what I mean? Like, he was doing a bunch of movies and stuff. Yeah. Like, he was doing all this other philanthropy.
And his background was so deep with his mom and his dad, like the real story about his mom and his dad. I would just love to have a conversation with him, have you hook up one of these juices or whatever, and we just sit back and just
Pop
talk.
Would have been like, I can't be like, Pac.
Can you imagine?
He's a trained entertainer.
Yeah. No,
don't want it. Like, bro, he went to school for this shit.
Yeah,
like, that was one of those
guys.
Yeah, mastering
it. Yeah, he was mastering it. So when he says that, yeah, I'm like, yo, bro, he was probably gonna be one of the next
Pac would have been
the
mine.
Cubes or Pac? The Ice T's. Yeah. I was like,
that's what I'm saying. You look at all his peers. Look at Snoop. You look at Cube. You look at all these people I've grown up.
How
and
successful they've been too.
Yeah. You know, producing movies, all that stuff. Pac might have been.
That's how been out of there.
When I look at Juice, I'm like, yo, bro, he was not acting.
Wait, hold on. Pac didn't have no kids, right?
I'm like, yo, that was him.
Allegedly.
What?
He had no kids, right?
Allegedly. Allegedly, there's
a daughter. They say he has a daughter.
As I'm saying, allegedly, there's a daughter out there.
I never heard anybody say he had a kid, so yeah, allegedly.
I know he was out here fucking. He had some kids.
I don't know. I wasn't in the room. I wasn't in the room, but I heard he had a dog.
I still stand on my comment. I still stand on my comment.
He was fine. Look,
what was your comment? You can't say that.
That was
it. No. My comment was I don't believe. My comment was I don't believe Pac was a good rapper.
Man and round.
Really?
Yes. I believe Pac was not a good rapper.
What do you believe he was good at?
I believe he was good at presentation. I believe he was good at presence. I believe he was good at impacting. I believe he was good at articulating what he was and what he was about.
But
in regards to, if we strip all that down, in regards to the actual technical skill of rapping, bars, this, that, and the third, because I'm a New Yorker, so like this is, I look at things a little bit differently. Mm. I don't view
You're from Jersey.
Him. All right, well, I'm an East Coaster. I don't believe him as to be a good rapper in my eyes. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
That's a crazy statement, though.
It is
It's crazy. It's subjective.
It's a crazy statement.
It's subjective.
You just, you don't got to agree with it. That's fine. I get it.
And
it's subjective.
And don't.
It's subjective. You don't. That's fine.
I'm not even the biggest Pac fan, but I'm not going to say he's not a good rapper.
I'm not saying he's a bad rapper. I don't think he's a good rapper. I just don't think he's a good rapper.
I think he was amazing.
I think he was amazing.
And we were so blessed to have so many albums of his.
Yes.
Like, imagine if we would have got 10 albums out of Big before he passed.
We got what? We got 10 albums out of Pac, right?
Yeah. Imagine if we would have got 10 out of Big.
We got 2 out of Big.
Crazy.
Right, and he's still helmed as one of the greatest. Pac put out, 8 or 9 albums. The nuggets in those albums
I love Pac,
were
so.
Those highlights.
I mean,
the quantity
to be fair.
Of work that he put out as how we hold him, it should equate to that.
To be fair.
That's all I'm saying. Like, he put out a lot of work.
To be fair, a lot of that work was probably not supposed to ever come out. You know what I mean? Like,
that.
A lot of that. Well, he died, bro. Like, he just recorded a lot of music, and they're like, let's just put this out.
A lot of that work did come out before.
But I would say the music, and we'll wrap this up right after this. I know we got a lot more to do. But I would just say that, you know, Pac, a lot of the music that he put out while he was alive to at least, like, creative direct and, like, you know, say, I want this out. Like, yeah, I would put it up there with one of the greatest rap collections of all time. But if you're going to put in stuff that, like, other people produced and it was just vocals and we're just going to do all this other mix, like, yeah, like, it's all right. Like, it's not
But it's not his vision. You know what I'm saying? It was like he passed away young.
He was
we're
going to
throw his
man.
Vocals on a bunch of producers.
And a poet.
I say,
where was he on that Billboard's list?
It was on number, he was number four. And I said, this is where this whole thing stems from. I said,
that's why he got mad.
I said, he should be
right
at
after
number
Nasir
seven,
Jones.
And Wayne should be at four.
Who said it again?
I said, Wayne should be at four, Pac should be at seven.
And I agreed
I'm
with that.
I'm not taking him off the list.
I agreed with that. Cause okay.
Who's in between four and seven? Who's in between four and seven?
I think Wayne was seven, if
Wayne
I remember correctly.
Wayne was seven, Pac was four. I don't know who's five and six.
I think Big was six.
I may get the order wrong. But
and Eminem
was
five.
It was Wayne, Eminem, Big, Drake, Hov, Kendrick.
So tough.
Don't get him
started. You're not naming nobody that's not fire to me, though. Everybody
Eminem's
on that list
fire.
Is fire.
But he don't like
Eminem. Everybody you named to me is fire.
He
All
thinks
I
Eminem
said
is trash.
Was, I just said replace this, that, and the third.
But why?
Look, he don't like Eminem.
No, but why replace it?
Because I think Wayne is
why would you switch roles when they're
Wayne
all
Wayne is a better rapper.
They're all goats.
Right. We can switch roles.
And it's two different eras too.
Low is not moving off a square on this.
I'm yeah, but it's two different eras though.
That's a low though. Eminem wouldn't be in a top.
Like if there's no Pop, there's probably no Wayne. What do you mean?
I appreciate the pushback, but you're acting as if I'm saying, yo, take Pac out.
Out the top five, you did
I
that.
I mean, you basically did when you say he's not a good rapper.
I said, no. But the
that was your first statement, by the way.
Yeah, that was.
And
your first
I'm standing
statement.
On that.
So you want
yeah,
to take
but
him
what
out?
What I'm saying is, there's no Wayne without Pac
That's
doing what
fine,
he did.
But they're still in the same bracket. It's still top 10.
I'm just saying he inspired a whole generation. Is what
I'm glad
saying.
He did.
Guys,
I'm glad he did.
Guys.
Oh, the tape running out.
This is a conversation I can go for so much.
This is a whole other show.
We got more guests to come.
My bad.
Rosie, wrap us up. What are you doing this weekend? What you
want?
What you want, Rosie?
I ain't on shit.
Lo, what you want this week, bro?
Are we going to Dave and Buster's or some shit?
Oh, I guess so.
You're
going to
arcade. Yeah. Celebrating your birthday.
We might do
arcade
some birthday.
Right after this.
Arcade shit.
Man, before we wrap this up, I just want to say thank you, Carlos Boozer, for
pleasure,
coming
man.
Through. I know it's been a long time.
Boozer. Pleasure, man.
I'm so happy.
We've been friends a long time, man.
Bro, I'm Respect. So proud of you. I'm so proud Respect. Of the father you are. So proud of the analyst you've become. Like, and it's wild. We had a whole hour and change conversation. We talked nothing about your basketball. Like, we talked almost nothing about his, like, great basketball career. Right. That's how accomplished you are.
Appreciate
that's
it.
How incredible you've been.
But no, but
it
is a testament to his
exactly.
great
it's
basketball
a testament.
Career.
It's,
yeah.
a testament
it's a testament
to
testament.
Life after the game. So, Booze, appreciate you so much for pulling
appreciate
up.
It,
thank
man.
You so much for kicking with us. Guys, before we wrap this up, make sure Wale Mania tickets on sale right now. Los Angeles, the Novo, March 30th. Get those tickets right now.
Gang,
we are almost sold out. It's going to be a crazy,
You got
crazy
two tickets for me,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Are we going?
I'll make sure. I'll look at the
what
list.
Is
I'll
it?
Make sure you guys are good. No, March 30th, Los Angeles,
I will
California.
Say this every
the weekend of WrestleMania weekend.
Disclaimer, I'm not twerking on any white man
well,
this
that,
year.
The more
is
you
that
say
normal,
it, the
is
more
that normal for you?
I'm about to say, the more you say it, the more I think it's going to happen. We'll have a conversation. We'll have a conversation off camera.
Disclaimer.
Is that normal?
We'll show you footage.
Disclaimer.
When we get off air, we'll show you footage.
No.
Anyway, guys, this has been another episode of Say Less. Thank you for listening. Subscribe on YouTube.com/Kazeem. Go wherever you listen to podcasts. Type in Say Less with Kazlo King Rosie. Pop up Amazon, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to everybody.
Madison, Jake,
everybody over here at Sovereign Brands and Bumble for hosting us. Appreciate you, like we always do with this. Tom, stay free,
yeah.
stay safe,
okay.
and always say less.
Yo, Jake, thank you for the BLT.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all. See y'all next week.
Bye.
We gotta get a picture, man.
Cardi, babe, you hungry?
Yes, you know I'm hungry.
Come on, we about to go to McDonald's.
Yes, I want a cheeseburger with some barbecue sauce, a little Coke on the side.
You know I gotta get the quarter pounder with cheese with the hot seat.
I want an apple pie too with some fries.
Ooh, you know what we gonna call
what
it?
What we gonna call it?
The Cardi B and Offset meal.
Only to March 12th, though.
Only to March 12th. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it.
Hey! And participate in McDonald's for a limited time.
Sometimes finding your place means getting lost along the way. Peacock's hit original series Bel-Air is back for a new season, with an ensemble cast of icons and breakout stars including Jabari Banks as Will, and special appearances from Saweetie and Tatiana Ali, the OG Ashley from The Fresh Prince. This new season finds the Banks family and Will at a crossroads. When a betrayal shatters the dreams of Will's journey to a new life, he must pick up the pieces and decide how to shape his own story. The strength of the Banks family is about to be tested like never before. From major career moves for Phil and Viv to Hillary, Carlton, and Ashley fighting to stay true to themselves. Plus, will Jeffrey find his way back? One thing's for sure, they've got a legacy to build, and it'll take all of them to build it. This is Must Stream TV. Watch Bel Air now with new episodes dropping Thursdays only on Peacock.